Ray Ferraro coming up here in a moment, our TSN hockey analyst. Game six tonight. There's been a lot of talk. Babcock, the players have talked about it, about the officiating on Saturday night. Regardless of how you felt about it, it's pretty clear the Leafs, and Babcock in particular, trying to plant seeds to get some calls tonight. But you're dealing with different refs, so I don't know if it factors in. I don't know if it's possible to sit here and believe that the Leafs are going to get makeup calls tonight.
No.
Especially considering they
won
the game.
Who wants to be that ref that says, oh, you're the donkey that did all the makeup calls for the Maple Leafs? It's so obvious.
Yeah, but refs
it's almost like
now.
The referee would almost be counterproductive, or not counterproductive, would do the opposite of that. It's like, I'm not going to be the guy that gets bullied by the coach of the Maple Leafs and the players in the organization and give them a free pass tonight. Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.
All right, Ray, how do you feel about that? The idea of Babcock and the Leafs campaigning for more calls tonight, better calls, whichever way you want to define it.
Before I get to that, that is spectacular.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could maybe take Hayes aside and teach him a thing or two, but that's
wasn't
how
that
you bring
good?
Guests in.
Yeah, there was some energy there, not like his stuff. It's just... He's an energy vampire.
Low energy,
yeah.
Haze.
Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
Or maybe Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd.
But it's like he was ordering Subway sandwich there. I don't know, ham and like some peppers. Or,
well,
I don't know. Like,
I mean, actually, take this personally. I'm rarely excited to talk to you, so take that into consideration.
That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the refereeing in the playoffs has been really difficult to figure out. I did the game Saturday in Washington, and both benches were about ready to lose their mind at some of the calls that were made. And it seems like it's getting harder and harder to get a feel for what is going to be called. And one of the reasons is I think we're now used to the way they call it in the regular season. You know, it's been pretty new, the new slashing standard, the new, you know, the hooking and holding stuff. And then they go change it again for the playoffs. So I don't think anybody's got a clue really anymore or a gut feel. When you see a play, you're like, yeah, that was a penalty in the regular season, but was that from two seasons ago or now? You know, like they never allowed any stuff in scrums in the regular season. Now it's all over the place. And so I think, in my opinion, that's one of the reasons people are so grumpy about the way the games are officiated. Oh, let them play. Well, let them play means... When Marner's lying on the ice, he's going to get popped in the back of the coconut by Marchand on the way by. Like, in the regular season, they call that a penalty. But they haven't called that sort of stuff, for the most part, in the playoffs. So I don't even really know, and I don't want to rag on the refs, but I don't even really know what the standard is. And does that come from the league, or is that the way that the refs think they're supposed to interpret it? I don't even know anymore.
That's the one thing I said earlier in the last hour, Ray, is... If the players can read the ref, regardless of how they're going to call it, but they've got to have a feel for it, and it's got to be consistent with both sides. And I'm not going to go back in the last game or the game that you I watched the game that you called as well. I mean, yeah, the one thing that I've struggled with is been the consistency of the calls from period to period, shift to shift. So the players are kind of sitting there going, okay. You know, we got away with something in the first. It's not really the same thing in the second. And it's almost like refs are instructed in scrums to take one guy. That's it. I'm taking one guy. And maybe it's the guy that started it or the guy who ended it with the last shot. But it's you can tell that there's some confusion from a player standpoint. And you can if the players are confused, you can almost guess that the fans and the organizations are confused on the outside because you're watching and there's no consistency.
Well, okay, so here's this scenario. So in the game against in Columbus, so in the first period, there was a play around the front of the net. I forget the Columbus guy was just really standing there, and Eller got him in a headlock and dragged him away from the front of the net. And so there was a scrum, and he ended up getting the only penalty. Well, that's fine if that's the way it is for the whole day. But let's look at it in reverse. So say they don't call a penalty there. And then there's another scrum where they don't call a penalty. And then about the third one, they call a penalty. And they just call one guy out of there. Just think of how sour you are. You're like, wait a minute. You haven't been calling that for a half an hour, and now it's a penalty? That's where the consistency thing is. You know, we talk about what it is or what it could mean. That's where I don't think the guys have a I don't think they got a real sense, so they better be careful. I mean, the fact is, just you got to be careful. You can't be popping off in a scrum and giving somebody a glove in the face in case that's the one time they call. You can't. It's too important now, right? You can't say, "Oh, they didn't call that before. Too bad. You're shorthanded. You're in the box, and now you got to pray like heck that they don't burn you while you're sitting there."
Well, what did you make of Babcock's analysis on Saturday night of the players that don't kill penalties, where he just said they're frozen, they're cold, and he kind of used that as an explanation for why the Bruins were so hot in the third period and why the Leafs just couldn't find the game again. They couldn't get the puck. They couldn't push back. I mean,
do you buy that or what? The reason I don't is that means then only 8 Bruins should have been skating well, because the other 10 of them were sitting there watching the game.
Yeah.
Because they're not on the power play either. I mean, it's a fact. I used to hate it. I used to get so mad at our guys when they'd take a penalty when I was the next guy up. You know, when our line was up, I'd be like, because I never killed penalties. I'm like, oh, seriously? Now I got to sit here and watch the same guys go kill penalties again. And it stinks because you do get cold. But for the other side, I never really thought of it till you put it this way. That means the two groups of forwards and the two defensemen or three defensemen that the Bruins use are the only guys on the ice too. The rest of them are sitting there like a frozen rope on the bench. They're not getting anything done either.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
I mean, as for Boston, their top line, they were outstanding again on Saturday, and they've been very consistent throughout the series. I mean, it's a reality. The Marchand, Bergeron, and Pasternak line has really lit up the Leafs. And as you go into Game 6 tonight, how would you be approaching it if you're Toronto? Would you be going into it, just based on what you've seen out of this line through 5 games, thinking, okay, this is the night where we fully commit to shutting them down completely? Or do you have to be more realistic and say, guys, they're probably going to get theirs, so it's on our big boys to match it and exceed it? In other words, if Boston's top line goes off for 2 tonight, Matthews has to go off for 3 tonight.
I think the biggest problem with having in your head, okay, we've got to shut them down, is I think in today's world, it's almost impossible to really shut anybody down like you used to be able to, because you know, you could play a checking line against them. You know, you wouldn't have to play Kadri against them. You'd have a checking center, and that guy would follow Bergeron around, and every time he turned around, somebody would tackle him, or somebody would grab his stick, and it became like a wrestling match out there. Like, just think of the nonsense that Crosby used to put up with Brandon Dubinsky. Well, now those are penalties every time. The only way you shut a line down is that if you score on them or you play in their end, and that's why you have to have guys like Kadri and Marleau to play against them. They've got to play in the other end, because if they do get into yours, you're kind of holding on by your fingernails. They're just so bloody good. Every game it seems like they get 5 or 6 like quality chances. Doesn't seem to matter who you put out against them. They seem to find a way to that.
I thought Nazem Kadri had a very effective game. And it was interesting because Babcock decided to play Plekanec with his usual line mates. Now, he found some minutes for Kadri, but still, I mean.
Did you not like that decision, though? Because I thought Kadri was playing great with Plekanec, so just leave him alone and get Kadri somewhere else.
I think, though, tonight you got to get Kadri more ice. Like, he's got to play more than Plekanec, in my opinion.
Dude, it's do or die. If you go out there and take 2 shifts and you're doing nothing, Peter Laviolette did it all the time. You're not going back out there. There's no time. There is no tomorrow, as Rocky's coach would say. Right, Ray?
You and Mick are kindred spirits.
No, that was Apollo Creed. Remember, he was running on the beach and he was being a lazy little...
But Mick...
Like, what's
Mick
the matter with you? There is no tomorrow.
You got to drag him. Oh, yeah, when they were racing because he was kicking his ass.
Yeah, and he looked back and he was just like, there is no tomorrow, Rock.
He beat him running backwards. Now I remember that.
Yeah.
He turned backwards and he still beat him.
Me and Hayes should go on the beach and put those little shorts on and run. And
well, Apollo had a half shirt on. You remember it was yellow? And half shirt on, showing the abs.
Apollo, for as juiced up as Rocky was in that thing, was shredded.
Yes.
He was like, wow, man, Apollo Creed was the guy. He's not playing tonight, though.
No, he's not. Last time I checked, Apollo Creed is not playing tonight.
Yeah, so I like Kadri nose-to-nose against the big boys because I think he's got that screw you to him. Like, I think you're going to, in a game like tonight, you get everything out of him. And everything out of him, or 90% out of him, is more than what Thomas Plekanec can bring you. Because I think the game's at both ends against Bergeron. You've got to be able to make him at least think about playing at the other end. Otherwise, they just get the puck. They never give it back. And so as much as we're talking about Bergeron and Marchand, man, the guy that's just been amazing in the series is Pasternak. Like that,
yeah,
he's just an amazing player. I think 25 teams are looking at their scouts from that draft and saying, now, how did this guy slither all the way here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so, like, those can be very difficult to process and kind of a cruel experience if you're a fan of a team that took some guy who never played one game in the league, and you look back and you're like, oh
yeah,
that guy went the next pick or five picks later or whatever. But there's so many examples of them.
I mean, it's not just one.
You drive yourself crazy.
You can drive yourself crazy. And listen, credit the Bruins. I'm not here to pump their tires, but they got McAvoy, I think, in the teens, late teens. They took Pasternak in the 20s. I went back and looked at Marchand's draft. That was the year they took Phil Kessel in the first round, Lucic in the second, and Marchand in the third. How's that for a one-year draft out of Boston?
That's a 10-year extension.
That's right. That's a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's true. Like that's...
But now, like, now tonight, so, like, you know, you bring that back. So they've drafted and they've added people and they've really well balanced their team. I think most of us felt the series would be 3-2 for somebody at this point. I think almost all of us picked Boston, but I'm assuming we all figured it was going to be long, and however the road gets you to game six, somebody's ahead 3-2. And so now, is it a bit player? Is it Kapanen tonight? Like he's kind of not been as noticeable as he was in last year's series, but he could score tonight. Like, why not? It might be and might have to be one of those guys. If the big guys cancel out again, like if Matthews doesn't get anything done again and you find a way to keep Bergeron's line just stable, then maybe it is one of those guys that's the difference. Because you guys said it the other day, like, Freddie Anderson has to be at the top of his game, and he was amazing in the third period. Like, there was a moat across center ice, and they couldn't get across it. And Anderson was outstanding. You're going to have to do it again.
Yeah, he might have to. I mean, you don't want to be in that position where you're relying on your goaltender to make 40 stops, but at this particular juncture in this series...
They don't ask how. They just ask
exactly.
If you're in the game or not.
I mean, we brought this up earlier. Noodles brought this up about Pasternak's game on Saturday and all the shot attempts and all the shots on net. If a Leaf does that tonight but they lose, it's completely irrelevant. It really doesn't matter. You can have 50 shot attempts. If the team loses, no one's going to care about one individual player.
No, because then if they lose tonight, tomorrow we'll be picking them apart.
Right.
Like, that's just the way it is. Who, this guy didn't play well, that guy. Hey, what about this guy had 12 shot attempts? Yeah, good for him.
Exactly.
We're doing a post-mortem on them. They're an excellent team. They're playing, in my opinion, a little bit better team, but it doesn't matter anymore. It's not even you got to win three straight. You got to win one game tonight. You've already got one. No matter what it looked like, you've got one. And now you leave it out there and you hope you get it again tonight. It's going to be awesome to watch. I suspect the energy in there is going to be amazing. Like that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Ray, we're going to let you go, but just remember one thing. There is no tomorrow.
Maybe they should have you give the speech before the game.
I could do a pump-up
speech. First he yells, though, what's the matter with you?
Yeah. Come on, Rock! What's the matter with you?
So you're going to have Noodle standing behind the stick tape drawer whispering the lines to you.
Exactly.
I got to get a yellow tank top with black tight shorts.
Oh,
and I'll walk in the Leaf
and put a mustache on, too.
Yes.
Headband, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mulls, if you're listening back there, get that audio for us coming into the next break. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Goodbye, Ray.
See you tomorrow, boys.
Thank you, Ray. There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst.